What do you want to do?
The Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier.
We should talk about that.
Oh my God. It is kind of a wonderful thing. Yeah. Like, what I would love to watch a cartoon series about that. Would I pay to read it in a comic book? I don't think so. But if they did it different, I guess. But they straight just made him look exactly like the Winter Soldier with the mask.
Whoa,
longish black hair.
Let me intro it so we can get to what we've been watching. We haven't introed it. We haven't said done anything that we normally do. So, okay, shit. All right, let's actually start the show. Fuck. Wow, we got caught up on a tangent on that one. Holy shit. Okay.
Oh, man, yeah, we are... That is a lot of minutes in.
Yeah. Shit. All right. Let's just... okay, horror movie podcast. Let's do this.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys!
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys Horror Movie Podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Banishing. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. I'll give our first thoughts and then we'll go into deep spoiler analysis. But first we're going to talk about what we've been watching. And we've been doing it already for 15 minutes. So, which, I mean, Patreon content.
Yeah, Patreon content. There you go.
But yeah, no, we just want to hit on a couple of things that we were watching. Like, I watched Scott Pilgrim this week and really love the movie. I think it's really well made. I have a lot of fun with it. And it got me to think like, Edgar Wright is the acclaimed director, you know what I mean? Film nerd, you know, stuff like that. So people always go over like his best of music list or like best movies and stuff like that. So he has like a foothold in the pop culture. And it got me to think like to really sit down and look at all his movies. And I have to say, and I wanted to bring this up as a topic for us to discuss, is Edgar Wright overrated? So
that's an interesting question, which also brings me to a slightly different point. Is James Gunn, American Edgar Wright.
He did James Gunn, Edgar Wright. Did he already surpass him?
Yeah.
I like that. I think James Gunn is actually more consistent as a director than Edgar Wright.
That's true. We're going to have to wait to see if the trailer for Suicide Squad are all the best parts.
That's already like my favorite movie of the year. Yeah, that one. Yeah. It's like the best thing.
Oh man.
Yeah. No. Sylvester Stallone playing fucking King Shark.
King Shark. Yeah.
Is inspired casting.
Oh man. Just well, yeah, adding King Shark.
in general, right? Yeah. I think even Ron Funch is like approved because like, he does the voice on Harley Quinn. So
he's great. So that's the King Shark I would love to see in a live action film.
Yeah.
Actually all the Harley Quinn versions of the DC villains. I personally like sensitive Bane.
Sensitive Bane, yeah.
But is he overrated?
But yeah, is Edgar Wright overrated?
And I think we briefly touched on it. I think it's really up to how much you like or dislike Baby Driver.
Yeah, so I actively don't like Baby Driver. Like, I was mentioning this before. I just remember there being a lot of hype. There was a lot of like, you know, websites. Everything was just like on the internet. It was like Edgar Wright's new movie, and I think everybody wanted. I remember that time. Everybody was kind of like in his corner at the time because he had just gotten fired from Ant-Man, maybe like a few years before. which was kind of like Marvel's first sort of like kind of stepping away and saying like, no, we're going to do movies our way, kind of make them the way we want. And ever, honestly, ever since then, Marvel's made movies kind of like it's a conveyor belt movies. You know what I mean? You know exactly what you're getting. You're going, you know exactly where you're going. You know exactly what you're going to get. You get some laughs. You're going to get some like, you get it like an extended ending. You know what I mean? You're going to, you know, have some fun at the theater for a couple of hours and that's it. Now there's going to be like no interesting villains. It's just going to be just all just like a theme park, right? You know, that's kind of what a Marvel movie is. And Edgar Wright was kind of like supposed to like direct this movie and bring his style, his sort of panache, his way of directing, flair. Exactly, yeah, to the series. And so a lot of people thought like, oh, well, they're not letting a creative guy do his thing. And he is. He's extremely creative. I won't knock him on like his TV, which I haven't watched a ton of, but he definitely is inventive and in his direction. But Baby Driver for me was just a complete miss. I couldn't believe the things that I was reading. Like people were going crazy for it. It was like the hot indie movie to watch that summer. And people even referenced it as like a musical with Cars and stuff like that. So, and all that got me really excited only to watch it, you know, maybe a year later, you know, to watch it like a year later, only to become incredibly disappointed, like in the overall, like, just sort of disappointed, but embarrassed, like kind of funny, kind of dumb and funny. Like, I don't know. It just, that movie just like did nothing for me. So, And I've always had that, you know what I mean? And I just thought like, and I look what else he's done. He really hasn't made a movie. He directed a documentary after that. And it just got me to think like Scott Pilgrim, his like Grindhouse trailer he did, his short. And of course, like his trilogy, right? That's like the almost the, am I missing something? But I think that's the extent of movies.
He's pretty... I don't think he's got like a huge filmography, honestly. But he's got nine upcoming projects.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh my God. And you know what he's directing? Are you aware of what he's currently got in production? The Running Man.
No, what does he have? Oh, wow. The Running Man.
You better not fuck it up.
I know. Isn't that just like The Purge? Could it just be The Purge movies? No. All right.
Yeah, but with very wrestler, pro wrestler type of personalities.
Yeah. So here's my other argument. I'll give you Shaun of the Dead, masterpiece, right? I'll give you Hot Fuzz. I guess another masterpiece. I won't do The World's End. I thought it was okay.
Oh, yeah. Man,
I thought it was just
It wasn't the best out of the three, but I thought it was a lot of fun. I like that stupid ending, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me, too. Yeah, that was the thing that I didn't like. It didn't exactly like vibe with me. The whole movie doesn't. When I think of Edgar Wright, I think of Shaun of the Dead. I think of maybe Hot Fuzz. But aside from that, I'm a little like, you know, Scott Pilgrim included. Other than that, I think, you know, he's kind of overrated.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
No, I mean, I like him. I'll watch whatever he does. He's like, I don't know. Yeah, like he's like another James Gunn, Taika Waititi type, except, I mean, I think Taika Waititi is definitely like the filmmaker of the three of them, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Baby Driver, I didn't mind it too much. But I think during that year, I also saw The Old Man and the Gun. And I was like, why isn't this movie blowing up right now? I thought that movie was fucking great. So I don't know how well my opinions go over with the masses.
No, yeah, it's just it goes back to like certain movies people really like and I sort of like don't. That happens quite a bit with me. You know what I mean? Like Edgar Wright movies, I'd say like Quentin Tarantino movies. I haven't liked a Quentin Tarantino movie completely since like Kill Bill. I think
that's fair.
Everything else has been...
They're okay. I don't think they're great, but yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on a repeated viewing. Like,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of movies. Like, honestly, I think I've talked to you about this. Rewatching a couple of Nolan films, I'm like, oh, these are not as good as I remember. But then I watched something like Equilibrium. Yeah. I'm like, where was this movie?
Yeah, no, that movie.
Which was him.
His
right?
follow up wasn't very good. Who? Christopher Nolan? No.
Yeah.
That was a different guy. No.
He did Memento and then he did.
What is the one movie with Al Pacino?
Scent of a Woman.
Robin Williams. No, what is it called? It's like his first like studio movie was that one. It was
Insomnia.
Robin Williams.
Right?
Insomnia. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that one. Oh shit! He did Batman Begins. No, I'm just kidding.
The Dark Knight.
What?
What?
He did Dunkirk. No. That wasn't a documentary. No, I'm just kidding. But it was all one shot.
He did Tenet. That wasn't a documentary.
Oh, which I have still not actually seen. I've seen a review of it, and that's about it.
Watch it with captions. Watch it with captions.
That's one of the main things I've heard. I'll get around to it eventually.
It's a very like esoteric kind of like they talk like they kind of talk like in like. They're talking, but they're not really making sense of what they're talking about. Like, he calls himself, like, the protagonist, and, like, we have to go to the man, and we have to get the box. But the box, I'll give you a word. It's called Tenet. Like, it's got sort of, like, very, like, obtuse dialogue in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of hard to follow, so I would suggest putting the captions. I mean, the story makes sense, and then once you kind of wrap around his whole, like, time travel thing, it more or less plays out straight like a movie. Though there are things that you can kind of go back and look deeper into, you know what I mean? Because like, his movies always leaves like breadcrumbs and stuff like that for the movie. So it's not bad. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was better than whatever, than Interstellar, which to me is like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Damn, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first.
Spicy takes. I just got spicy takes all night. I'm going for blood. That's what I'm doing. No, but yeah, no, that movie just like I figured out the ending like in the first 10 minutes so of Interstellar. So I had to sit there for another like 2 hours and 35 minutes of a pretty pointless movie. So yeah, that's another one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't, every time I watch Inception, I'm like, oh, why do I like this movie again? That's my spicy take.
It's so straightforward. It's spicy take. You're like, oh yeah, it's so good. Yeah. That's why I watch it.
And the more, yeah. Every time I rewatch it, I realize who I think the better actors are in the movie. Like Elliot Page, I think is like definitely one of the best actors in the movie, but
well cast, yeah.
But he's not really in it a whole lot. You know,
like, no, he's not, you know?
And then it's like a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio, which I think he's a pretty decent actor. I think he's a good actor, right? But if you give him like too much dialogue, you really start to, not that this matters, but you really start to set into how long it takes him to say words sometimes. You know, like his speech pattern like really starts to bug me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I completely agree.
And that was our spicy takes with Rolly and
Johnny.
Spicy
takes. New segment. We're doing that now.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we probably, for new segments, we need new music. Speaking of music, let's cut to a little ad. And today I'm going to share another gem from our friend of the show, Jimmy Gooseneck.
Ooh.
And today we have another recording. This time it's a song, so it's another classic, nevertheless.
Oh, okay.
So let's check it out.
You need some food, you need some help, but baby, you know where to get it. You need some bleach, you need some scissors, but baby, you know where to get it. You need a doll, you're hearing a cover song, well baby, you know where I'll be. Remember, I'm slash your prices. You just gotta say the magic word. Honk, honk. Say it with me. Say it loud. Honk, honk. Honk, honk, the Goose Shack is where I'll be. Honk, 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 honk. Stay with me and say it loud.
Wait, is there more of the song? Is that the whole thing? Is that all you got?
That's a little like sousance, a little piece of an excellent song of his.
Nice.
We can always put we'll put full songs up on our Patreon. You know what I mean? We keep talking about it.
Yeah, so. You just gotta get more people subscribed to our Patreon.
Jimmy really is like a cool uncle who has taught us a lot about living and a little bit about love. That guy, man, he's just. Something else.
Man. Yeah. And he's got such a great voice too. It's like, what is it? Is it like the Cookie Monster? Is it Tom Waits?
Is it all
is
of
it
them?
Fat Albert? Is it? is it Louis Armstrong or is it Shawn Michaels? You know? In case anybody's
is it
wondering.
Peggy Hill's impersonation of Fat Albert? Exactly. Spot on. She does a spot on. Fat Albert. Cool. All right, John. Do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
And speaking of spicy takes. All right. I've got.
Oh, here we go.
I got five. I don't know how. Okay. Let me just say them instead of trying to preface anything. Coming in at
number
ready, five.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready? I wouldn't be, but yeah. If you're ready, let's do it. Coming in at number five, Trickster One-Way Ghost Mirror. Right? That was the whole point of the movie?
Yeah. That was the point of it.
I could have just covered it up, but nah. Vanity got the best of them.
Literally, yeah.
Coming in at number four, I have Amityville Ghost Lived in Europe.
Yeah, there you go. It's a haunted house movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you got that ending, right? Anyway, coming in at number three, I have Priests, Nazis, Ghosts. Oh, my.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. A little bit of everything.
Coming in at number two, I have Parents Forget to Check Daughter.
But was it their daughter? I don't know. Was it? It was.
Because if it really was their daughter, they would have given her more than 15 minutes of screen time. And coming in at number one, which is a spicy take, I will say.
Here we go.
Downton Abbey, also boring horror. I wrote real quick though. I gotta say, I wrote that before I realized that this lady was in Downton Abbey.
She was in Downton Abbey. That is so funny because my fiance, she's now just like watching it, Downton Abbey, and I put on the movie. I told her to stop Downton Abbey, stop watching your porn, and then she put on. Let's watch this movie. And she's like, hey, look, that's the actress from Downton Abbey. I was like,
no.
Can't escape this movie. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's crazy.
That reminds me. A long time ago, I worked on this Funny or Die short with Sean Combs, P. Diddy or Puff Daddy. Like, I don't even know what he goes for anymore. I mean,
I think I helped you, didn't I? It was a different one. Face Off 2?
No, not that one. I forgot about. That was a good one, though. That was a fun one. I mean, it wasn't like super fun, but it was just like,
no, yeah, like, it's oh, long.
Dude, that's like the guy from fucking Tokyo Drift. It was like, that was me the whole day. No, it was called Downtown Abbey instead of Downton Abbey. And it was just, you never realized Sean Combs was in Downton Abbey. So it was just like green screening him in and like him just being puffed out. It was really funny.
That sounds
it was good times.
It sounds funny.
P. Diddy treats people very well. He doesn't really talk to people, but he treats people very well.
I will second that. I was a prop for his Face Off 2 or whatever that was, and he had a gun, and I was like, I immediately got in like close to him, and he didn't like get weirded out. He just handed it to me and like did his thing. So I was very professional.
Yeah, very nice, very professional. Very, the one thing I remember, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. Maybe we should just start bleeping out the celebrity names every time we. But he showed up to the Funny or Die office. He had his assistant like make the spread for Crafty, which was like ridiculous. It was like fucking Red Bulls and all this like extravagant like candy and healthy snacks, and then like five bottles of like stupid expensive booze. I'm talking like a $150 bottle of tequila, you know? And then a couple of bottles of Ciroc, right? Because that's his thing. That's his like his liquor. And one of the jokes in the thing was he was presented Ciroc in the Downton Abbey mansion. And as soon as they said cut, he's like, okay, please, somebody get the shit away from me. But that was really funny. And then after we were done, I went and talked to his assistant. I'm like, hey, he left all his stuff here and nobody ever touched it. And she was like, wait, no, nobody ever told you guys? He like brought all that for you guys. Like you guys were supposed to like be having at that the whole time. We're like, what? So, you know, my poor ass ran right over there and grabbed like two bottles of Ciroc, a couple of Red Bulls.
Yeah.
And then we all shared the super expensive bottle of tequila.
Awesome. Good times. Yeah.
No, and that's what we think of The Banishing. Thank you, folks.
The Banishing. So The Banishing. So, John, do you want to give your first thoughts on The Banishing?
Sure. I did not care for this film. I had to go back to rewatch several moments to do this five-word review because for the life of me, I couldn't remember a lot of the key things. It was just, I don't know. I felt like it was, and again, there's nothing wrong with slow pace, but it was like slow pace without any real payoff. And that was kind of my take for the whole thing. And then the ending, which I won't spoil right now, was like, why? I don't know. I didn't
okay,
like this
yeah. Do you have like a, okay, so it's like a haunted house movie, right? It's supposed to be set in supposedly, I don't know if you knew this, but if you read up on it at all, or did you?
So I'm getting background on conflicting things because their actual quick synopsis here says that they are in England, and then other things contrary that and say that they're actually in German. No, they're in Germany.
Did you have the German captions on? Is that why maybe?
Well, I mean, I didn't understand what they were saying. They're freaking weird English accents. I was like, what is this even?
Captions.
Is this even American going on right now?
Yeah. So apparently this is supposed to be based on a real location, Borley Rectory, which is considered the most haunted house in England. So that's kind of like, I don't even think they mention it. Like I'll give it that. I don't even think they clearly mention, you know, this is the most haunted, whatever. They're the history of it. They just talk about it, right? Like Borley Rectory. So it's like a haunted house movie, right? Essentially. So I was going to ask, do you have like a favorite haunted house movie? Like, do you like the genre?
Man,
do you care?
Favorite haunted house movie. I fucking love haunted house movies. When it comes to my preference of horror films, I always go straight towards Supernatural, even though 9 times out of 10 they're going to be crap. God. Oh, there's so many good ones. Off the top of my head, I can't think of like my favorite one right now.
Like Insidious, you know what I mean? Like the other stuff like that, you know what I mean? Or
The Conjuring. Well, because those are tough, because Insidious isn't... Like, I guess we're splitting hairs here, but, like, Insidious isn't a haunted house because they move houses in the first one.
It's I got you.
The kid is haunted, right? The Conjuring, I feel like, is more of, like, a haunted... Oh, no, they even move in that one, too.
Poltergeist.
The other. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good one.
There you go.
Actually, that's
No, but
up there.
You're like, they stayed in that hotel. I was kidding. I agree. It's a paint by numbers haunted house movie. But I don't know. There's something about, I really like the direction. I really liked the some of the camera positions, like in the film. I thought it, like, it's a, to me, it's just like a grounded sort of haunted house movie. There's nothing like, everything seemed like more or less practical effects or like practically done. You know what I mean? Right. Maybe the mirror stuff isn't, just off the top of my head, maybe the mirror stuff wasn't. But I feel like it tries really hard to kind of set you there, right? With these people.
Right, yeah.
To where it's a little like unnerving. It kind of, to me, it was unnerving. I thought the opening scene was just like, man, this thing's super odd. The way they like structured the scene and the way they shot it and everything. And I was like kind of in for it, you know what I mean? I think that like they gave that one actor, the redheaded guy, the worst wig in my eyes. Sean Harris. I feel bad because like he's one of the few actors who's like, he's like trying. He's like really trying because he's like sort of like big. He's doing everything really big. And I was like, he's like the most interesting part of the film, but he's just saddled with like the worst wig job. I think I've ever seen one of the worst wig jobs I've ever seen. And when I was watching, I couldn't figure out who the actor was, right? So, and I thought for a long time it was Dan Castagnella, the home voice of Homer. So, and then I looked it up and it was like Sean Harris. I was like, oh, okay. And I couldn't, even then I was like, okay, what has he been in? Then I looked to see what he was in. And I was like, yeah, okay. What was it? I didn't realize he was in the last Mission Impossible movie, which was really good. And you had told me, what is it?
Was that Spectre?
Prometheus, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Prometheus. Mission Impossible, was it Fallout? I think it was Fallout. I don't remember.
Oh, Mission Impossible. Fuck, I'm dumb. Sorry. The American one. Gotcha. So,
the American one, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought for The Banishing, there are like little flares of things I liked, but as a whole, it's very kind of like... The story, the characters are, how do I say? They are like they're not welcoming in any way. There's nothing I really want to feel for them because they're pretty like sterile as characters, you know? And they have like really good, like decent actors in those parts, you know? And it's just like, it's kind of a tough thing when this, you know, I feel like the script wasn't completely there.
Yeah. And that's my biggest complaint about the film. When I say this movie was slow, I'm talking about almost every scene was so slow and drawn out. And I feel like it was supposed to make you engaged in like whatever is going on. But I kept checking out like halfway through and then I'm like, oh fuck, what were they saying?
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. Mm. And then I kept forgetting they had a daughter. And then when you finally see the ghost, I was like, oh, okay, is this going to be explained? And then it kind of is.
Well, I mean, they have a clear, we know who the ghost is that's haunting them and trying to take their daughter, their bastard child, right? That's sort of like one of the big story points. But I think that there's a lot of things going on in this movie, right? There's like Nazis, there's ghosts, there's like hooded figures, imaginary friend, creepy dolls, stuff like that.
Did it need the Nazis?
Oh, the Nazis were needed. No, I don't know. The story was just kind of like a little bit of everything, right? It was kind of like, let's just throw everything together we possibly can for the plot of this movie. And I thought some of it was like, a lot of it is very subtle and like, you really have to like kind of pay attention to like the story beats. Cause if you're not paying like as close of attention, there's a lot of stuff that just goes by. And so like, as it moves scene to scene, and I think you mentioned this, like, it just kind of like a lot of stuff happening, right? Like it's kind of, and I think it has to do with a lot of like, just it not like wanting just too subtle of a script, you know what I mean? Like it didn't really like have that like spell out, didn't really like spell things out or like the thing conventionally with it. And it was a kind of a tough movie to, I can see how that would be a little bit of a tough movie to engage with.
Wasn't, I don't know. Wasn't for me. Oh, one of the top horror haunted house horror films is Monster House, mm-hmm. the animated feature.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you, the director Christopher Smith, I was wondering if you'd seen his other movies, because that's kind of why I wanted to pick the movie, because he did Severance, Black Death with Sean Bean.
I saw Black Death, but I don't really remember it.
Did you watch like a time travel one he did called Triangle?
No. Triangle, no.
No, that one's okay. That one's pretty good. That's why I was like, okay, well, I haven't seen Christopher Smith make anything else. So I was like, I really like Triangle. So I was like, okay, cool. So let me check out. I picked The Banishing.
Oh, so. You know, I never finished it though, but I did see Creep, and that one was pretty cool. I just never got to finish it. So I can't tell you if it was like a solid movie overall, but it was like from what I saw, it was really good, and then it just became unavailable.
Yeah, that happens to us quite a bit. Yeah. cool. Did you have any more first thoughts before going to spoilers?
No. Those are all my thoughts. All right. I'm just kidding. I'm actually done. Oh, I'm signing off. Thank you.
Wait. I didn't get your spooky bones. all right. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Okay. So it seems the base of this film, according to the end, is all revolving around Nazis trying to find bombs. But they're aware that there's ghosts. For Nazi reasons, right? Because I don't know.
They're bad guys. They want bombs. That makes sense. It tracks completely for them.
And then there's that commentary on like, oh, the black arts occultist is the guy that's like saving the day, and the Catholic Church is Nazis.
Yeah.
Something like
pretty
that.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's that was disappointing, because it's like it's another like Catholic priest goes and kills a woman, a pregnant woman. They kill her, and then she wants to have her revenge, basically, by taking her bastard child to the other side of the. To the other side of the mirror or whatever.
Yeah, the mirror world.
the mirror world, whatever it was. Yeah.
Where they're straight. There is also the hooded monk burn people.
Oh, yeah,
so that were
much.
Another part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like unfortunate once you hit, like they start really hitting all those different plot points at the end. But like kind of quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if I can be bothered to go back and try to figure out who this person is again.
So, yeah, I thought that detective guy wanted to give the, like you said, like he wanted to give the body over to the Nazis because they're occultists or whatever. They like the spooky, spooky stuff. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that was kind of like a, what did you think of like some of the like ghosts or the hooded figures or like?
I thought they played really well for like the jump scare stuff. I thought it was kind of unfortunate that, you know, the beginning kind of sets up that these people will hallucinate and then eventually actually do these things, right? So when the maid has her throat slashed, and the first time I was like, well, this isn't actually happening, is it?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the scene plays out, it's just stretched so long, and then it finally ends with like, oh, the wife is just cradling something that's not there, and it's like, yeah, okay, let's get on with this, tell me who the hooded figure is. I need better answers. Sorry.
So essentially these like priests were all just like kept moving into this house and shit kept happening and they kept trying to like cover it up, right? So that was like the gist of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the Amityville Horror ghost like did his what do you call it? Like interned at that house before he went to 1970s Amityville.
Yeah.
Story taking place city in America.
No, I agree. Yeah. Sounds like you really didn't like this movie.
I didn't really like it. No, I tried. I really did try. And I was like, okay. Oh, man, I don't know.
No, I get you.
Boring. I mean, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Like, some of it's kind of fun. Like, the cinematography, like you said, was, like, pretty good. I mean, I'm not sure what I can say about the design. It's just they just covered everything with, you know, blankets or whatnot.
Yeah. It's no Conjuring 2 remake cinematography.
No, which will be our film for next week.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, I didn't really like this movie. But you thought it, you liked it somewhat?
Yeah, I liked it somewhat. Okay. I think there's... Again, I think there's things that like to like about it. I mean, it's not an easy movie to sit through. It's one of those ones that is like I kind of like what I'm saying. Like, it's very subtle. You kind of have to be paying attention and like be engaged with it, like listening, like yeah. Watching and listening. Like if you like get distracted at any point, believe me, I did. I was on my phone like a couple times. Like, sometimes I take notes. I like to take notes on my phone, so sometimes I'm like writing stuff down and I look up and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on anymore with this movie. I'm lost. So it is a little, I think, subtle, and I think that it tries something different. I don't know if it was like in terms of like setting you in that house and setting you in that world. I thought it did a pretty good job of doing that. But like I said, I mean, the characters aren't interesting. The world is not that, you know, the story is not, it's pretty predictable.
Yeah.
So it kind of loses you there, but I thought there were some really like creative choices as far as his direction and like where they actually stuck the camera in certain positions and stuff.
And do you think what the Jonathan Harker guy, the dude that came in the Dracula Netflix series, the husband, do you think he killed the maid? Is that what you're supposed to be gathering?
I think he did.
Right, because nobody else exists really, right? Nobody's actually real.
No, yeah, all right.
I was trying to figure that one out. And then he like
he didn't
quickly
have a bunch
comes
of
back.
Blood.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
And he like quickly bounces back.
Yeah,
because they all find what's her name, and she's found her daughter, and the ghost is like playing with her daughter. I guess they're just sitting there, but she's like, "No, let them play." I'm like, "Oh, they're not even doing anything."
I would never.
So he's crazy.
As a parent, I would never let my child touch any of those dolls. It's like, what? This is like creepiest looking.
Oh,
like,
and then there's that at the very end, which again another scene where I'm like, it doesn't have to be this long. Like Sean Harris grabs the doll and opens up the coffin again, and like unwraps the bodies of like the ghost and her daughter. Yeah. I was like, why is this scene 20 minutes long? And then he puts the doll there, and then he wraps it up again, and then he puts the thing on top. I'm like, God, dude.
We got a nice little like shot of the bodies, the skulls, and I'm like, this is supposed to be like sweet or like an ending or a sort of like a levity kind of moment. You know what I mean? Like a nice moment. Yeah. They just like take their time, like he just picking away.
I was expecting like a jump scare, so I was like, okay, this might be fun. I'm like, no, nothing's going on.
Nothing's fun. No fun.
And
the banishing's not
and
fun.
And then the John Spicy take. And then the very end. Well, okay, this is after you find out, oh, Priest has been a Nazi this whole time and he found these bombs or whatever the hell's going on. is a cutaway to a scene where the husband is back talking about the worst thing good people can do is nothing. We have to fight against like Nazis or whatever. And then it slowly pans over to the wife and the daughter, and the daughter has the doll again. Right? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I get you. Cool. How many sexy spooky bones did you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it 2.5 sexy spooky bones.
Interesting. I'm going to go just a little higher. I'll probably do, I was going to say 4, but that doesn't feel right. Maybe I'll do 3 because I think this is a movie that for all intents and purposes, like felt like it had a good idea there, you know, setting a movie in the most haunted house in England or whatever. But I feel like one of those movies that just get away from directors, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah,
it didn't know quite how to fit all the little pieces together. So I'll give it 3 spooky bones, sexy spooky bones.
Because I'll also say something that kind of took me a little bit by surprise was how very television it felt. Also it had a very like English television sort of feel to it. And then it was also just as slow about certain things.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
not a creepy Downton Abbey. Yeah.
No.
All right. All right. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Don't watch this movie. All right. Bye.